morning we read something to those in the Sunday morning service. My nephew in their church in Tennessee reads this. Brother Jerry Dillon and his church, they read this same thing. Amen. My offering covenant, when I give to God, by the authority of your word, I have given. It will be given back, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I am a tither. I bring my tithe into your storehouse. Therefore, the enemy is rebuked. The curse is broken. The windows of heaven are open, and you pour out on me such a blessing that there is not room to receive it. We receive better jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses and sales and commissions, benefits and settlements and estates and inheritance, in interest and incomes, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, bills paid off, debts demolished, and royalties received. My whole family saved and walking with God, perfect health and abundance, to walk in divine favor and blessing. I am blessed going in and going out. All that I do, I will prosper in Jesus' name. Are you thankful for the covenant that God makes to those that give to him? Amen. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands? Amen. And I want you to thank God for him, amen, giving you that covenant today. Amen. The provisions of his great power. Thank you, Lord. Amen. For reaching where I can't reach and blessing me in all different manners. We give you praise. We give you honor today, Jesus, in your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I want to go to 2 Timothy, the third chapter. 2 Timothy, the third chapter. Amen. So good to see every one of you in the house of the Lord. We do have a bunch out, different places, some out of town. And we do understand that. Amen. But we're glad you're here tonight. You matter. You mean a lot to me. Amen. Every one of you. And we're so thankful for it. Nathaniel, good to see you tonight. Amen. And we're glad everyone is in the house of the Lord. Praise God. And I want to go to 2 Timothy, the third chapter. And we're going to read that chapter, so just bear with me. We'll try to do it. I know you're standing. So, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which come unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endure, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Jesus Christ shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated tonight. Anybody know who this letter was written to? This epistle. An epistle was a letter, right? Who was this written to? It was addressed to Timothy, right? And the writer was Paul. And I want you to catch what I'm fixing to talk to you about tonight. But the word of God is for us today. Even though Paul was writing to Timothy, it still applies to us. And Paul was writing to this young man in the gospel. And he was given a forecast and a diagnosis of the end times. He was forecasting and given a diagnosis of what was happening in perilous times. He said, there's going to be, in the end times, there's going to be perilous times, Timothy. But not only did he address and give a diagnosis, he gave a prescription of something good to have in the midst of all this problems. Tonight, I want to just talk to you about the prescription for a perilous time. Are you thankful that God has a way out for you tonight? Are you thankful that God has something good for you tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. Are you thankful that God has glory for you? God has power for you. God has anointing for you. I want you to keep your Bibles open in chapter 3 right here and look at the listing of what one may encounter in the world. And Paul's writing and he said, this is not just only in the world, but also in the church. It can happen because we're living in perilous times. He gave a diagnosis and a forecast. He said this, Timothy, he said, there's going to be a lot of challenges. There's going to be a lot of moral decline. There's going to be various attitudes and behaviors that's going to dominate a corrupt and a godless society. A lot of influences here. In verse 2, look at the diagnostics. Amen. The diagnosis of and the list that he gave. He said they're going to be lovers of who? Themselves. Mm-hmm. And the point is excessive self-focus here, where people prioritize their desires and ambitions over God and others. And it contrasts Jesus' call, Timothy, for self-denial and love for other people. Amen. How many's found in your hour that you're living in, there's people that love themselves more than loving God? So Paul was writing, Timothy, I want you to beware. It's going to happen. The next thing that he gives on the list is there's going to be people that, they lovers of money, lovers of things. Greed and materialism is going to take precedent. Covetousness, in other words. Amen. They're going to have, amen, a lot of pursuit to try to be wealthy at the expense of spiritual and moral integrity. Hear me. Amen. Lovers of themselves. Timothy, I see in the forecast that there's going to be those that love themselves more than they love God. And because they love themselves and love materialism, they will compromise the truth of God and a relationship with God. Not only that, but look at the next list. Boast, and they're boastful and proud. These traits begin to reflect some arrogance and inflated sense of self-importance, even often leading to a lack of humility before God and before other people. There's going to be some people that's so proud and boastful. Look what I'm doing instead of look what God's doing. Are you thankful that you found a God who will not fail you? Even a God who will keep you. In the hour, Timothy, young man, he said, you're going to find in perilous times, there's going to be the proud and the boasters. And he goes on and he said, even those that are abusive. He talks in this second chapter about those that are unthankful, unholy. And he talks about those that are disobedient to parents. And he talks about the abusive, those that are harsh. They have harmful speech or actions. They show lack of kindness and compassion. And even disobedience to parent, breakdown in the family respect and authority. It's going to be something that you're going to find prevalent in the last hour. How many's found that to be in your hour? Does it break down? It signifies a broader disrespect that the Bible teaches us to be respectful unto our parents. The scripture talks about ungratefulness here, unholy. Then verse 3, it gives some more traits that are negative and how it's going to be something that is in our perilous times. He said they're going to be without love, without a natural affection or care. especially in relationships that should be marked by love, and such as in within a family or communities, it would signify a cold, selfish, indifference attitude towards each other. Friend, we're living in that hour, amen, where people is all about self instead of about other people. The next characteristic in verse 3 is unforgiving. People are going to be unforgiving. Think about it. People who refuse to reconcile or let go of grievances, hold on to bitterness, foster divisions, rather than seeking peace and forgiveness, as Jesus taught. Slanderous. These points lead to malicious speech that spreads lies or misrepresents others. It intends to harm reputation and relationships. We're in that hour where people don't care about reputation or somebody's relationship. They love to slander, to cut down, to put down. Paul saying, Timothy, that's going to happen. That's going to be the forecast. And some symptoms that I find in a sick generation. There's going to be people that are brutal, harsh, and their nature's going to have no regard for other people's dignity or well-being. Not only that, he said in verse 3, there's not going to be lovers of the good. People reject what is morally and spiritually good, embrace evil and selfishness instead. And the scripture also says, this begins to show and reflect a deep misalignment with the character of God and the values of righteousness. But Timothy, it's going to be there. I'm just letting you know what's in the forecast. In the end time, verse 4, he talks about those that are traitor or treacherous. That term refers to betrayal and disloyalty. It describes a people who are willing to betray trust or to act deceitfully to serve their own interests, even at the expense of other people. They're going to be rash. They're going to be reckless or act without thought, without consideration of consequences. Oh, Timothy, there's going to be the conceited, the highlights of arrogance and inflated view and all this. People are going to be self-centered. Then he said they're going to be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I mean, this captures the essence of idolatry, where people put themselves above God and they worship and value personal gratification more than their devotion to God. It reflects a society where people prioritize their own enjoyment, entertainment, and comfort over obedience and worship and relationship with God. He said, that's going to be in the hour. That's going to be the pulse of the heartbeat and the characteristics of the end time, where there's going to be perilous times. Verse 5, he said, having a form of godliness. And I want you to catch this. Now, he's talking not just about the world, but he's talking about people around you that even suppose and profess to be in the church. It refers to an outward appearance or pretense of being religious or moral. And such people may perform religious rituals or use spiritual language and appear to be very devout externally. But their actions, their attitudes described in the preceding verses begin to show their faith is superficial and not transformable. Are you thankful for the power of the Holy Ghost will transform you? Faith will grow you. Faith will change you. Are you thankful for the power of a change in Jesus Christ? Amen. He said to have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. He said their form doesn't have any power. They're just inflated. And these individuals reject and they fail to experience that transforming power. And they reduce faith to empty practices or traditions. Then he says, have nothing to do with these people. Avoid them. In this diagnosis, he starts giving them a little bit of advisory. He said, hey, he doesn't mean completely shunning them, but rather guarding against adopting their ways or be drawn into their hypocrisy. I believe we're in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. Amen. And it's a call for discernment. Paul said you need to have discernment to maintain spiritual integrity and prioritize your relationships. And verse 6, he said, you know, they're the kind who worms their way into homes. And they're more excited making a convert than a transformation. He said it's kind of like these false pretenses where they would go to a woman who is silly and gullible and they would convert this woman, but But it's all on their lust. He said they would try to make converts for the sake of saying, "Whoa, I'm a soul winner," but they're really not converting them to the truth of righteousness because they had no power inside of themselves. He said they're loaded down with sins. They're swayed because with all kind of evil desires. Verse 7. I'm going somewhere. Just hang on. We're looking at what Paul is prescribing and showing what's going to be in the end time. He said this verse 7, shows us a sobering reminder that knowledge alone without submission to God, he said, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. These people, information freaks. They were able to Google. They were able to look and they were able to search and find all kind of information. But information don't save you. Amen. You could even quote the word of God without having the God of the word. Amen. I want God to be in my life. How about you? Paul's writing this and he's forecasting and he's diagnosing the end time. Verse 8, he gives the example of Jannes and Jambres, who were traditionally identified as the magicians in Pharaoh's court that challenged Moses and they resisted Moses. And they offered some counterfeit things. It wasn't real things. And they may fool somebody else, but I want to tell you, God is a God that has the real today. Amen. There's a lot of people that have a form and they have a fashion, but there's no power. These magicians use counterfeit signs and wonders to challenge Moses. Have you ever been challenged in your faith? Somebody said, "Well, but look what we're real, man. I got the power of the Holy Ghost, man." But yet, amen, there's not a transformation in their life. They still do the things of the world and ungodliness. Amen. Paul said to Timothy, pay attention. That's going to be in the last hour. He goes on to advise Timothy about evildoers growing more and more and more. He said, this is the symptoms of perilous times, but also the symptoms of sin sickness, of deception, of mindless wandering, of weakness, of loss of appetite for God, loss of wholesomeness, lost of a heartbeat for after God. I'm telling you, sin will make you sick. And sin, it makes God sick. Amen. Sin will deceive you. And sin will bind you. And sin will paralyze your relationship with God. Somebody say amen. He has given the symptoms for a sin-sick generation that he titles perilous times. Yet in the diagnosis here, Paul did leave Timothy hanging. I want you to think there was a great prescription that Paul gave Timothy, just like a medicine. He mixes in a warning. He tells him, hey, I'm going to warn you. And he gives an advisory and he gives instruction, basically prescribing with the best antidote ever against that. The word of God. Are you thankful for the word of God? He said the word of God, which will make you wise unto what? Anybody knows? Wise unto salvation. Amen. Hey friend, in a world where everything is falling apart, I have a God that's still able to make you wise unto salvation. He said all scripture is given by God, by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly, anybody knows it? Thoroughly furnished unto what? Good works, godly works. I just want to tell somebody tonight, have you ever been to the pharmacist and the doctor prescribes something and he says, I want you to have this prescription. On a lot of prescriptions, there are warning labels. The warning here to Paul to Timothy, from Paul to Timothy was this: you need to take this. You need to take this dose. Amen. Because in this dosage, it's going to keep you. I have a prescription for you. Amen. Of my glory and the power from above that's going to heal you and bless you. And so, he said that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, I want you to think that word furnished here means completely equipped. God said in the midst of all these perils, through Paul to Timothy, he said, I got something that's going to equip you and keep you if you take it. And you know as well as myself, You could get a prescription, but if you don't take it, it's doing no good. Salt in a shaker's no good. And a prescription in a bottle that is left there, amen, where you ignore the instructions will not do you any good. I'm thankful that there's something that will do us good, not just here in perilous times, but for eternity. The grass will wither, the flower will fade, but the word of God will last forever. Amen. You ought to give the Lord a hand of praise, because this is something lasting. This is not a sugar pill. This is the gospel. Yeah. Hallelujah. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. The gospel of Jesus Christ. He died. He was buried. And he rose again. And friend, the gospel is this. You got to die. And you got to die through repentance. Amen. You got to die through water baptism in Jesus' name. And you got to have the Holy Ghost. You've got to have a death, a burial, and a resurrection. That's the gospel. Hallelujah. You got to take that pill. For some people, it's a hard pill to swallow. They don't want to repent. There's some of them that want to be baptized in Jesus' name. And some of them don't want the Holy Ghost. Or some of them want the benefits, but they don't want to take the pill. The gospel. Hey, the gospel of Christ. Amen. I'm thankful it's the power of God unto salvation. Amen. Jesus Christ came to give us life in it more abundantly. Are you thankful for the gospel that will save you? The gospel that will keep you? The word of God that will be there for you? Now, when he said that you're going to be thoroughly furnished into good works, that means completely equipped. I want you to just, you know, a mind like a home is furnished by the owner. Your mind, like a home, is furnished by the owner. So if one's life is cold and bare, he can't blame nobody but himself. But you have a chance to select some pretty elegant furnishings when you let God have his way in your life, when you start applying and taking the prescription and put the word of God in your heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Somebody say it. That I might not sin against God. Are you thankful today that when you start taking this pill, amen, you start taking the gospel, amen. Somebody says it don't taste good. But the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. God works. God works. Amen. Hallelujah. How beautiful it is. So we start applying, and the Bible says God starts furnishing us, amen, with his power. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. Isn't it amazing when you take this gospel and you take the word of God and you start applying it in your life? Amen. The word of God becomes a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. I want you to hear something. If you don't stick with the word, you're not going to get down the path. Amen. But the light turns on. That word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my... When you keep the word of God burning in your heart and in your life, amen, you're going to see how to walk in this old treacherous, untoward generation. Didn't Peter say, save yourselves from this untoward generation? Somebody get a dose and save yourself from this misdirected, misguided generation. It's by the word of God. In fact, the scripture says the word of God is quick. That don't mean like a bunny rabbit being quick. It means the word of God is quick like life. Life is lively. Quick and powerful. And sharper than any what? Piercing what? Asunder and soul to the joints and marrow. And is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. What a pill to swallow today. What a prescription. I don't like to swallow pills, but But I want to tell you, I better love the word of God. Thy word, I better love. Amen. I want the word of God to pierce, even to divide or asunder, so to the joints and marrows. Amen. Oh, friend, are you getting rickety in your life where you can't walk anymore? You can't stand anymore? Amen. You can't do the things, if you can't run the race anymore. You need to get back the word of God. The word of God would give you the ability, the flex, amen, to be able to run this race. Amen. The word of God will help you make it. Amen. In an old dark world, the word is a lamp. We just read it a while ago. And a light. And Psalms, the 20th chapter, verse 7 and 8 says, there's some that trust in chariots and some in horses, but we remember the name of the Lord our God. They're brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. The word of God, the God of the word here. We trust the prescription. We know that when we begin to obey the word of God in faith, faith is trusting God even when you can't see what's on the other side. Amen. When you come to something where you can't see, I trust God's word. Amen. I trust what he's going to. You need to trust the prescription that God gave. Amen. Stay with God. Amen. Even when you can't see or feel it, God will carry you through what you can't get through. Amen. Somebody ought to give the Lord a hand of praise tonight for his word. Praise God. Trust the prescription. Hallelujah. God's not going to mislead you. But there's some people who say, well, I just don't think I have to. You have a deficit in your soul, a deficiency in your soul. You have an empty place, a frailty, a weakness. You have an empty place. You have malnutrition and malnourishment. You can't be saved without the word of God. You can't be saved without obedience to the word of God. Amen. You got to have the word of God. Now, I love what God has done. Psalm 124 says, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, they swallowed at us quick. And when wrath was kindled against us, the waters that overwhelmed us, the stream had gone over our soul, and the proud waters had gone over. But blessed be the Lord who had not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers, and the snare's broken, and we are escaped. And our help is in the name of the Lord who hath made the heaven and the earth. What is this telling me today? I'm not going to trust in the ways of men. Had it not been for God, where would I be? How many of you, God has delivered you out of the teeth of the enemy? How many have ever been in a bind, in a situation, even after you receive the Holy Ghost, you've been in a bind that nothing could get you out of? And you thought, where are you, God? I'm glad, friend, that when you take the word of God, you take that prescription. Amen. The marvelous manners of God and the promises of God are yea and amen. They're definite and absolute. Amen. And God fulfills that order for you. Amen. That prescription works. That pill begins to work. That medicine inside of you begins to come alive in you. Amen. It'll fill you deep inside to the void in your life. The things that are not there, God is able to put there. Amen. Zechariah 4 and 5 says, then the Lord answered and said unto me, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. Oh, friend, there's some people trust in their strength. They trust in their wits. Amen. Oh, that may be well. You may be a strong person, and you may have wit. But hear me. Amen. Wit and your strong arm is not sufficient to save your soul. It's not by power nor by might, but it's by his spirit. I got to have the word of God in operation. Amen. Paul was telling Timothy, amen, you can trust the word. The word will keep you in perilous times. If everybody around you is corrupt, everything around you is falling apart. Amen. If you take the word of God, amen, and put into your heart and obey the word of God, take that prescription and apply it and take application of God. Let God be God in your life. God will never leave you nor forsake you. Praise God. You know, there are some people think, well, I'm smarter than God Almighty. I'm smarter than some people. You think your wits, just because you escaped a few times, it's kind of like that rat that escapes the trap. He thinks he's pretty cool because he escaped. I got wits. But don't you know that I've had rats and mice that kept on getting the cheese or the peanut butter. And I thought, well, the only way they could get to the trap is right here. And I put a bunch of glob of peanut butter up in that same old trap. And I took one of those sticky tray traps, right? And I put it right there. And before he could get to the peanut butter, he had to step on it. I want to tell you, friend, the enemy wants to trap you in your own conceit and your own wit. And you think you can do it without God. You can't do it without God. You can't escape the things of God when you defy God. Amen. But, oh, friend, I can't escape the glory of God when I live for God. Amen. Because God is a keeper of his promise. And God's a keeper of his word. Hey, Timothy, Paul is saying, amen, it's perilous time. There's going to be all these things that happen, but the word of God, take the word of God. All scripture is profitable. It'll thoroughly furnish your life and it'll equip you. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I'll use my own sword. That's kind of like these people that armor up and they got all this guns and ammunition, plates, and they think, ooh, I'm going to be macho man whenever the enemy comes. Well, crazy person. The enemy's not going to use a gun. The enemy knows how to get you out. He'll smoke you out. He knows how to get you out. I don't care how much ammunition you got, it's not going to do your soul any good. But you better have the word of God, the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. The weapons of our warfare are carnal. But the weapons of this warfare is mighty. Through God to the pulling down of, somebody say it, strongholds. Are you thankful that we have a weapon in Jesus Christ? Amen. I have an immunity. I have a power. I have something working on my behalf when I live for God. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Think with me. Money can be lost and stolen. Health and strength can fail. And what you have committed to your heart really matters. If in your heart there's rebellion, disobedience, and corruption, very easily things could happen. But if you got the word in your heart, though my body, though they slay me and take me, my heart is ready to meet the Almighty God because I have obeyed that form of doctrine. I have taken the pill, the gospel. Amen. The most important measure here in this chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, in light of the chapter's theme and the warning and the advisory, the ultimate God and the safeguard for believers in the midst of deception, persecution, moral decay, is the word of God. That faithful reliance on God's word. Amen. And not just relying on the word. Like I said, anybody could quote it. Anybody could read it. But if you don't have the God of the word, what good is your knowledge? The prescription works. It takes a daily walk or a daily dose that's going to keep you. I want to just say this. You can't overdose on this. Ooh, are you thankful today? Amen. Hallelujah. It has tremendous side effects. There's some people afraid of side effects. Amen. But friend, you don't need to be afraid of the side effects of the Word of God. There's people allergic to aspirin, codeine, and all this junk, that pharmaceuticals. I'm glad that this is not a pharmaceutical, amen, but this is a form of godliness and righteousness, amen, where God comes in, the Spirit of God, the power of God, the breath of God. Amen, how beautiful it is. Oh, it has tremendous side effects. In fact, it'll affect your heart. It'll affect your walk. It'll affect your talk. It'll affect your vision. It affects your hearing. It heals your hurts. But most of all, it fills your soul. Hallelujah, for eternity. Are you thankful for the power of the Word of God? And I want to just tell you something else. Refills are unlimited. Refills are unlimited today. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a healing in the word of God and the power of God. Tonight I want to tell somebody, amen, the more you get, the more you find. Amen. There is refills in God. Let him restore your soul. Let him refuel your life. Let him guide you. Let him help you. The word of God is forever and ever settled in heaven. But in order to get there, it has to be settled in your heart. Hallelujah. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee, O God. Hallelujah. You know how long the Lord it took for the Lord to give me this message today? About 10 minutes. Amen. The Lord spoke to me and that's all it was. Amen. Hallelujah. The power. Amen. The antidote. Amen. Against perilous times. Timothy, you can run this race and finish this race when you have the word of God. Stand with me, saint of God. And I want you to give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, clap your hands. Lift your voice to the master. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Hallelujah. You want to praise God for his word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father. Hallelujah. Give the Lord praise tonight. Woo. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Read a scripture this morning, return unto the bishop of your soul, the maker of your soul. And the way we return to God is through the power of his word. The prescription for perilous times Paul gave to Timothy. In the midst of all the different characters and moral decline, against all the different problems, every winds of doctrine, every deceptional thing. Amen. I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Sing, Sister Crosswife.
Every day with you, Lord, is sweeter than the day before. Every day with you, Lord.
Somebody get the hold of the word tonight.
The day
the promises of God is here tonight.
Every morning I will worship. Every evening I'll adore. Every day with you is sweeter, sweeter than the day before. Every day with you, Lord,
yeah,
sweeter than the day before.
Yeah.
Every day with you, Lord,
hallelujah, yeah,
sweeter than the day before. Every morning I will worship. Every evening I'll adore. Every day with you is sweeter.
Oh, can you celebrate his sweetness?
What a privilege to know you like I know you. To be loved like you love me. What an honor to worship, truly worship, from this heart that you have freed. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. Every day with you, Lord, is sweeter than the day before. Every day with you, Lord, is sweeter than the day before. Every morning I will worship. Every evening I'll adore. Every day with you is sweeter, sweeter than the day before. What a privilege to know you like I know you. To be loved like you love me. What an honor to worship, truly worship, from this heart that you have freed. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. Every day with you, Lord, is sweeter than the day before. Every day with you, Lord, is sweeter than the day before. Every morning I will worship. Every evening I'll adore. Every day with you is sweeter. sweeter than the day before. What a wonder to live life, really live life.
Come on, you ought to celebrate the power of the Word of God in your life.
What a reason.
Come on, give Him praise. He's a keeper of His Word.
Lift up every day my everything. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. Every day with you, Lord, is sweeter than the day before. Every day with you, Lord, is sweeter than the day before. Every morning I will worship. Every evening I'll adore. Every day with you is sweeter, sweeter than the day before. Every day with you, Lord, is sweeter than the day before. Every day with you, Lord, is sweeter than the day before. Every morning I will worship. Every evening I'll adore. Every day with you is sweeter, sweeter than the day before.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand of praise.
Amen. Amen.
If you need healing right now for your body, the Bible tells us to obey the word of the Lord by being anointed with oil and pray the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith shall, that's the word, save the sick. Amen. If you need healing in your body, won't you come down? We're going to lay hands on you and believe the Lord tonight to do what only He could do. Sing it again, says Crossway. We're trusting God tonight.
Every Amen. Day with you, Lord, is sweeter than the day before. Every day with you, Lord, is sweeter than the day before. Every morning I will worship. Every evening I'll adore. Every day with you is sweeter, sweeter than the day before. What a privilege to know you, like I know you, to be loved like you love me. What an honor to worship, freely worship, from this heart that you have freed. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. Every day with you, Lord, is sweeter than the day before. Every day with you, Lord, is sweeter than the day before. Every morning I will worship. Every evening I'll adore. Every day with you is sweeter, sweeter than the day before. What a wonder to live life, really live life, overcoming anything. What a reason to lift up, freely lift up, every day my everything. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. Every day with you, Lord, is sweeter than the day before. Every day with you, Lord, is sweeter than the day before. Every morning I will worship. Every evening I'll adore. 'Cause every day with you is sweeter, sweeter than the day before. Every day with you, Lord, is sweeter than the day before. Every day with you, Lord, is sweeter than the day before. Every morning I will worship. Every evening I'll adore. 'Cause every day with you is sweeter, sweeter than the day before. What a wonder to live life, really live life, giving you my everything. What a reason to lift up, freely lift up, every day my everything. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. Every day with you, Lord, is sweeter than the day before. Every day with you, Lord, is sweeter than the day before. Every morning I will worship. up. Every evening I'll adore, 'cause every day with you is sweeter, sweeter than the day before. Oh, every day with you, Lord, is sweeter than the day before. Every day with you, Lord, is sweeter than the day before. Every morning I will worship, every evening I'll adore, 'cause every day with you is sweeter, sweeter than the day before.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Are you glad you came to church, huh? Amen. He's a good God. Hallelujah. Please remember the announcements. Amen. Hallelujah. Have your way with us, oh God. God, help us, Lord Jesus, as we travel, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I mean, let's go to heaven. How?
Together.
Amen.
If you signed up for Friendsgiving to help with anything, whether it's a game or to bring prizes or to do a hot chocolate bar, whatever you've done, please remember your commitment. We're depending on you. And if you can get your stuff there between 5 and 5:30 in a throwaway thing and nice and warm, thank you.
And
throwaway tinsels if you have them. I would love that. I would love that too. Thank you so much.